Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Vernomatic Productions.
Are you ready?
Live from the Metal Mayhem Studios in Rochester, New York.
We are gold.
And heard around the world by metalheads just like you. This is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Heavy metal music.
Your weekly dose of metal music, interviews, album reviews, news, and more.
Want to be part of the show?
Send us a message through our website,
metalmayhemroc.com.
Or hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Search Metal Mayhem ROC.
A proud member of the Pantheon podcast team.
It's getting nice and heavy.
Now, welcome our hosts, John the Vernomatic Verno, and direct from New Jersey, Metal Walt.
Good evening, everybody. As always, new content usually drops on Thursdays, but we're coming at you on a cold, rainy Rochester, New Jersey morning. What we have is a special recap of the ultimate Metal Mayhem ROC on the road weekend. I'm joined by my co-host, good buddy, Metal Walt from New Jersey. Walt, how you doing, man?
Morning, Verno. How you doing? Are you rested? I'm feeling a little tired out from the last, started earlier in the week, but definitely the last 48 hours.
Yeah, I am doing well. What we're discussing today is Thursday night, I had a chance to hang out with Armored Saint and see him up here in Rochester for a headline show. They're taking a detour from the Queensryche tour, and they had a showcase show at the Montage Music Hall. And then the next night, Walt, down in New Jersey, in Englewood, New Jersey, he hung out the ultimate hangout with Saxon on that Uriah Heep Saxon tour. And to top it off, Southern Cal and Bill the Rager, Friday night we're down in Florida hanging out with Raven and Vicious Rumors on that tour. Cal couldn't join us this morning, but what we're doing here is just exemplifying and sharing our experience. So, Walt, before you get into your entire story, give us a little tease about what happened down in Jersey with Saxon.
Well, so it's a testament to, the brand of Metal Mayhem ROC as we're continuing to grow, add more staff members in different geographical sections. And hey, timing is sometimes is just you're lucky it's on your side that you had three shows all in the same 1 or 2 days in different areas of the East Coast. However, it's also a testament to the work that we bring and the relationships that we're building with these press agents, right? Because as we're continuing to support these bands, review their albums, get them on for interviews, it lends itself to the reputation of Metal Mayhem ROC, and the Saxon was no exception. I just went for it. Sometimes you just got to go for it. And when I reached out to Serena, the press agent through Silver Lining Records in the UK, I just said, listen, I want the pizza with everything on it, all toppings. I want a ticket, I want a photo pass, I want a meet and greet, and I want an interview. So that's where it started. So let's leave it at that for now. But John, how about you? I mean, Thursday night, Armored Saint.
Well, you know what? We're ping-ponging. The fun thing here is Walt's down in the tri-state area. So New York, New Jersey, Philly, they're getting tours coming through with multiple venues. So he is it's like a heavy metal concert buffet. He could go here to see this. He has many chances to see the tours. So when Armored Saint came up to Rochester, they booked an off-date headline show, like I mentioned. Thursday night, I did the same thing that Walt did. And we had a chance to meet the band. And we actually did it a little differently because the guy I went with, the buddy I went with, our IT guy here for Metal Mayhem ROC, Mike Pilley, he took it upon himself to get the VIP package. So there's only five of us in the VIP. And I'm going to tell you something. The girl that ran the merch booth also was the coordinator for the meet and greet. She was great. She went above and beyond. And this is the first hook of the latest and greatest saga of John Bush and his throat issues. It came to our attention yesterday that Armored Saint did have to postpone the show in Pennsylvania yesterday, another show because of throat problems. And the origin of it really started in Rochester. I'm going to tell you something. On the headline show, not getting too far into the weeds on the stats, they played the other night in Rochester. They played 12 songs compared to the opening slot in New Jersey that Walt saw. They played 10 songs. But the other headline shows that they did, they were doing as many as 14 and sometimes 15 songs. So the seed of John having throat problems really started in Rochester, and it carried over. Now about the show. Yeah, well.
So I wanted to just preface this and tell you that the show in Jersey on Tuesday was probably the best I've ever seen John sing, including back in the Anthrax days. Everybody there was just amazed at, number one, the energy, the physicality he was putting in. I mean, he was jumping up and down and dancing around and headbanging. I mean, he put 120% into that performance for that 55 minutes. Again, John, you're going to comment on it, but maybe this is something that he's to dial it back just a little bit because he can't sustain that 5 out of 7 days on the road at that energy level. Listen, I'm happy I saw that performance, but I'm bummed for the rest of the people that maybe saw it as he was getting ill and maybe lost it a little bit.
Well, that's a great point that you made, that the physicality, because initially, let's just call the meet and greet girl Becky. Well, when Becky informed us before we did the meet and greet that unfortunately John wasn't going to be able to join us because he was at the Rochester hospital, and she said getting an IV for his throat. But as it turned out, we found out later on that it was more a structural physical situation with his throat in his neck area. So maybe the overexertion in the New Jersey show to make up for the fact that he couldn't do the show last time around on the Wasp tour, you know, maybe he strained a muscle. He's very exuberant. And the show was great. You know, it was a nice 500 cap room. It was sold out. The Rochester people were there. We have a rich history up here. And I'm going to tell you, besides the Armored Saint set, the all-stars of this show was the local support up here in Rochester. Comfort and Violence, Gates of Paradox, and Daylight Black were three openers. And I had a chance to talk with Randy Peck, the owner of the Montage Music Hall. And he said to me, he's like, John, you know who the real stars of this show tonight is? These opening bands sold this place out by their hard work of selling tickets, networking their group, their fan base. And it was, of course, you know, they're there, Armored Saint. It was an honor for these bands to help contribute to it. It's a very, very tight communal experience. And I just, it was nice to be there with all our people. And when I had a chance to, you know, talk with Joey and Gonzo and get all our stuff signed, they were really cool. Joey even remembered our interview in Cleveland last year when I went to introduce myself. He gave me one of those, I remember you kind of looks. I'm like, hey, Joey, you know, thanks, man. And John was totally cool. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself. Becky, the meet and greet girl, was true to her word. And she said, if I can, I'll get John to meet you privately at some point of the evening. And she did. And before they went on, we went in the green room, spent 10 minutes with all of us, signed our stuff. You know, I'm about 5'5 on a good day. I was the third tallest out of this group. These are little guys, but big in metal stature. Bottom line, to summarize the Armored Saint Rochester show, was it was a treat to have a headline show, and if you will, we delivered.
Metal Mayhem ROC.
So, Walt, tell us about Saxon, because this is something that, they can make a movie about this experience.
So I already set it up for you, but again, they're crossing the country. They're about a week or so into the tour. Just so for any of our listeners or fans that are heading out for the remaining 4 or 6 weeks on the show, they do alternate nights, alternate start times. So every other night, somebody starts, somebody closes. They both do an hour, 20 minutes, a 30-minute break in between. On this night, Saxon opened the show, so they went on an 8 o'clock sharp. The amazing part of it, and it was blew my expectations away, was when I got to the venue and I got my credentials, I was given the tour manager's cell phone number. And said, just call Velby, you know, he'll come down and he'll get you in. And sure enough, Velby came down to the t-shirt booth, German guy, and he walked Mark and I right through the crowd, right up to the back, and right into the pre-show dressing room. Now, this was, mind you, after the paid fan meet and greet. So I got VIP access right into the dressing room. There was nobody there. And John, what was amazing is you open the door, and, you know, we're all maybe imagining there's going to be open booze bottles and crap all over the place. There was no alcohol. There was a big bag of chocolate-covered pretzels. And the first guy I look at when I walk in is Brian Tatler. He's on a chair reading a book. And he had to pull his reading glasses up and say, oh, hello. And little by little, I went through with all the guys and said hi and took a couple photos. And they remembered us well. Of course, Nigel Glockler has a little bit more history with Metal Mayhem ROC. We've had him on a couple times for Saxon, but we also interviewed him about a year ago for his 6x6 Prog project, in which he plays drums. Now, at the time when John and I talked to him, I think it was last Memorial Day, I'll never forget Nigel saying, you know what, Walt, you know what, John, if the guys are ever in person with you, I want to have a couple of IPA beers with you. So I capitalized that, and I said, Nigel, I'm coming back for your promise. I want to have a couple IPAs with you tonight. How about I come back after the show and we have a couple beers on the tour bus? So I just went for it. And you know what? They didn't say no. Him and Biff said, yeah, well, hey, Mark, come on. Come on back. Just knock on the door. We'll be there. So fast forward, we go through the shows. It's 11:05. We go to the tour bus, knock on the door, boom, 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 boom. You know, a guy opens the door. Who are you? Yeah, yeah, bring these guys in. And this was where it started to become a classic night. Biff looks at me and he says, I said to come after the Saxon set list, not at 11 o'clock. So I said, I capitalized on the reference to the new album. I said, you know what, Biff? I said, we're not in the year 1066. This is 2024. And that just started the ball rolling. The laughter was amazing. But, John, what was amazing was Biff, I called him like the British version of Tony Soprano. He had his table on the tour bus. All his shit was there. He was front and center, and he orchestrated everything that went on that tour bus. He guided the conversation. He made sure everybody had their drinks. He was the guy pivoting. He was the leader of the ball busting. He's a big physical guy, too. But I will tell you, it was 2 hours straight of nothing but like 60 and 70 year old guys laughing, cursing, acting immature, having some cocktails, busting each other's balls. It was just like you would imagine it would be back there. And I mean, listen, it was, I could go on and on and tell you about some of the things, but I will tell you there was a point where we were starting to talk metal and we were talking about my experiences seeing Alcatraz in girls' school in Belgium, where Doogie White was then removed from the tour shortly after. So that turned into a debate. We ended up talking about our opinions on these bands such as Sabaton and Hammerfall and Camelot that are touring around. And I will tell you, I'm not going to use the exact words that Biff said, but I can tell you he's not a big fan of them. But it was then you just saw guys like Nibs and Doug come in and out, and Brian Tatler, the most polite, quiet guy. He sat in the corner. He didn't say much. He was sipping on his one beer. Meanwhile, Biff's over there. Him and Nigel are going at it like two brothers that have known each other and they're still sharing bunk beds in their 70s.
And you know, the fun thing was, as this was developing, I'm home recovering from the Armored Saint gig the night before. So it's a Friday night. I'm watching a little TV and stuff. And Walt's sending me pictures. He's like, this is unbelievable. He's sending me pictures from backstage and everything. And like around, I would say around midnight, I get done watching a movie. I just get into bed and I'm ready to go to sleep. And the phone rings. And it's Metal Walt. And I'm like, I just thought it was like one of those catch up calls. So he's like, yeah, Vern, hold on. Someone wants to talk to you. And he gets the hand the phone over and it's Nigel. And in this boisterous voice, and it sounded like, you know, the party was going on. He's like, in a nice, cool English accent, hey, John, it's Nigel Glockler from Saxon. How are you? Hopefully we didn't wake you. And I'm like, no. He's like, listen, I want you to bring, because I'm going to see the band and do the same thing next weekend in Cleveland. He goes, when you come up to Cleveland, bring one of these green Metal Mayhem ROC shirts that Walt's wearing. I want a large. And so I'm like, not a problem. We joke for about, you know, a minute or so. And then, you know, we said our goodbyes. But I instantly get up, went and checked the inventory, ordered some more merch. But that was fun. So continue. There was like, there I am. My buddy Walt, he's over there partying with him on a bus. I'm minding my own business, trying to get some sleep. And they're giving me a call. That was rock and roll. That was metal.
And they were so polite even afterwards. He's like, I'm sorry. I hope we didn't bother John. I said, you didn't bother John. I said it. But just going back to there's a couple funny moments I remember very well. There was a point in the conversation where nothing was, there was a lull in the conversation. And Biff picked up on it and he said, here we go. There's nothing to talk about. What are we going to talk about next? And now there's Mark and I, all the band members, crew guys are coming in and out. And literally, I just said, anybody got any dick jokes? And that just, and the next thing you know, Biff tells a dick joke and then Nibs tells a dick joke. Now the room's laughing all over the place. And I looked at Nigel at one point. And I said, man, Biff is like, he's like Tony Soprano over here. And his response was, he looked at me, he goes, he's not Tony Soprano. He's Carmela Soprano.
Yeah, well, you should have said to him, go, listen, I'm from Jersey. I should know Soprano.
Well, we got into a ton of that. But, you know, I will tell you, these guys were great. I mean, you can tell Biff is one of these guys, like, you're going to hang the right way. You better be ready to talk. You better be ready to bust balls. And you better be ready to have a couple of cocktails. So at one point, I had a beer or two, and he looked at Mark, my friend who doesn't drink, and he says, Mark, you're going to have a rum and ginger ale with Biff here because we are all pirates. Because it was a Kraken. It had a Kraken in octopus on the front. So then, of course, we started talking about Pirates of the Airwaves, the song, and Mark didn't drink, but he sipped it. But you could just see how Biff was. He's, like I said, he was holding court there. And he was going to have that gavel no matter what. And he was going to stop the conversation, decide what was going to be talked about. He was like the ruler. It was so amazing. But I will tell you, on a serious note, before we ended, we stayed about 2 hours. And, you know, Biff looked at us and he says, guys, before you get off here, it's late. We've had a couple cocktails. I want to make sure nobody's getting behind the wheel. You can stay here longer. And he goes, hell, you guys can go to Boston with us. We'll drop you off next week in Long Island. So he was serious in saying, don't take any chances and fuck around. And I thought that was really classy as being mature. So just an amazing night. Nigel walked me off the bus. Big bro hugs and we said goodbye. It was like I'd known these guys for 50 years. And I can't wait for you, John, to see these guys and experience the same thing next Saturday in Cleveland.
Yeah, well, I gotta bring my A game. I got to... in a jokingly way, top your experience, you know. But, you know, before Walt got involved with this full time with me, you know, I had a chance to interview Nigel years ago. And right from the start of our relationship, he was always cool, gave me his direct email, said, call me anytime. When I did, he would respond to me. He's been on my radio show once or twice. We, like Walt said, we did the 6x6 press for them. Even though it's not really in the metal landscape, it was still like a professional courtesy to extend some promotion. And it was just a great story. It was, I guess this just exemplifies that, okay, these guys have been doing this 50 years. And it's just a job. Just by the fact that Brian's in the corner reading his book And these guys opening their home to Walt and Mark. And let's give some credit to Mark, your buddy that doubled as the photographer and came out of his shell and had a good time, I take it, even though he doesn't drink.
He was laughing.
What was Mark's?
Mark was perfectly situated because Mark's a low-key, you know, guy too. And he sat in the booth with Brian and they were talking all on their own. And there was even a great conversation where they were talking Metallica, and Brian even mentioned something like how he could not believe before Metallica, decided to cover those Diamond Head songs, Brian's opinion was, I don't know about these guys. I think they're okay, but I don't know if they're going to hit it big. And look at what their career turned into. So he got this great insight there. And it was just an amazing night. And I will tell you, talking about how it was a family, John, but it was another thing Biff said. He said, you know, we're just getting rolling on this tour. And because I said, how do you guys manage this in this tight quarters? And, you know, young guys are coming in and out on all these road crew guys. There was one fat guy with a flamingo t-shirt and shorts on, and they were busting his balls about that. And he says, listen, he goes, the one rule we make is nobody gets out of line, and we're a family, and we have to get along because we butt it. 6-week tour, it's exhausting, but you have to stay cool with each other. So that was another one of Biff's wisdoms. But John, you could tell Nigel that one of the things when you see him is the tour ends in Texas. Ironically, he lives in Dallas. So I was busting him too. I said, well, what are they going to do, Nigel? They're going to just roll you out in Dallas on the last date, open the door and say, get the hell out. We've had enough of you. We'll see you in Europe this summer. He said, yeah, basically something like that.
How cool was the bus? Like, was it as fancy as you think it would be? Is it how nice was it?
Well, you go in and it's your typical couches in the front and the bunch of little boxes and things. You can flip a seat over and it turns to a chair. And then there was this one part where when Biff was making his rum drinks, he had to get ice. And the ice was over in another corner, but you had to flip up this chair. So he threw one of the Roku, goes, get the fuck up. I got to get the ice. And then, you know, that becomes a chair. But the middle section, it looked like it seated about 12, and it was like, it looked like something like a submarine. You had bottom bunk, middle bunk, top bunk. And I said to Nibs, I said, who picks this? And he goes, well, he goes, you know, you just always end up where you are. He goes, I ended up getting the one near the air conditioning unit. He goes, so it's cold as hell. When they run the AC, it kind of blows right on me. And then I guess there's a bathroom in the back, and then way in the back, there's like a little like lounge area. And at one point, Doug was speaking to his wife back in the UK. So I guess that's maybe their private area. But even I said to him, I said, on days off, what do you guys do? The day off on Saturday prior to Boston, which as we're airing, they're playing Boston tonight on Sunday, May the 5th. They said, you know, it's like a cruise ship. We come in and out of the bus. They said, we don't get hotels, but like the Uriah Heep guys got hotels. But then they say they just do whatever. Nib said he wanted to go for a run, do a little jogging, take a nature walk through a park. Who knows what the other guys are doing? There was two autographed bloodsuckers outside. You know, you could tell these guys that they come in with not just like an album or two to sign. They have like a book of 50 things, and you know they're throwing it up on eBay. And when I had knocked on the door, I think they originally thought we were these like autograph hounds, and we weren't. But there were two guys out there that literally stayed out there the whole time, and they didn't let them in, and nobody went out and signed them. I think they have no time for that. But even like the Armored Saint show, the paid meet and greet, I think there was only 4 or 5 of them. The Uriah Heep, I don't know how that went. But again, the buses were side by side, the Uriah Heep right next to Saxon. I didn't chance to – none of the Heep guys came out. We didn't have time to go over there and knock on that door. But, you know, the way Biff and Nigel and the Saxon boys gave it across was like they were the cool bus. Like, nothing against Uriah Heep, but they were the cool bus.
Now, while talking about that meet and greet up here in Rochester, what they did was they made it a point to tell the people that, listen, if any of you folks are here on a serious note and you're trying to get autographs to get on eBay or exploit the band in any way, in any situation, you will be escorted off the property, denied entry to the show, and they took it that seriously. But the other people that we're doing the meet and greet with, I have to call them out. We had this couple from Buffalo. The guy was from Buffalo. His girlfriend was in Virginia. She drove up for the meet and greet, and they're in their mid-30s, and they shared their experiences with John and the band, seeing past shows. But the other cat that I have to tip my crown to, He was from Syracuse, and he was an eccentric guy, and he actually had a replica crown, like a Burger King crown that he was wearing. And he proclaimed himself the king of concerts, because in, I guess, 2023, he went to 25 concerts. But he had a photo book from the 1988 Syracuse, New York show for Armored Saint that he was sharing with the band. He had a drumstick from Gonzo, and the band was really into it. They're like, look at this guy. And the fun thing is, and you're going to be, I have a blog review that'll be posted in the next 24 hours. We have actual footage from the concert where this guy, let's call him Eric, he handed John Bush the crown, and John put it on and sang like two or three verses and then threw it back to him. And you see Eric like high-fiving his buddies all excited. So I guess what I'm really trying to say is, if you've ever thought about getting the meet and greets, I've never paid for a meet and greet. And this was really cool. The band really went out of their way, took pictures, signed whatever you wanted, answered questions, and were sincere. Maybe it's a testament of being on the road 40 plus years and the fans are what keep you going. Or maybe they're just really that down-to-earth guys that they are sincere. But in both situations here, bands 40-plus years, Saxon 50 years, just going out of their way to appreciate the fans. Maybe it's a post-pandemic thing. Maybe the fact that, hey, what they took for granted before was taken away, and they're never going to take it for granted again. So that was just my experience on a lower level on a club show with Armored Saint, and with Walt being on a bigger level. Well, let me ask you, what was the cap on that venue? How many people were there? Was it sold out? What was the concert vibe like?
So, yeah, they played a theater, and it's a bit of a strange venue, I would say, for a rock metal show. It's one of these theaters that in every state there tends to be three or four of them around the state. I don't know what the capacity is, a couple thousand or whatever. But like, to give you an example, Bundy Guy played there the next night. So you'll get everything from a hard rock show to, you know, theater to a kids play and that kind of thing. I would say it was at about 75% capacity. It's at a venue not far from New York City. So, but it's the only Jersey show, and they did not play New York City. They're playing Long Island on Tuesday. But, you know, it's a seated show. But then again, the crowd is aging. I mean, you know, no disrespect to Uriah Heep, but I think, you know, Saxon being a pure metal band, you know, Uriah Heep is more of a classic rock band, right? And you could see a lot of their fans were, you know, seated or older, maybe some of them with, you know, canes and wheelchairs and things of that nature. So maybe this is the time where you get to the point in these guys' careers where they're in their 70s. I mean, heck, Mick Box is 78, that they have to think about. There's no way in hell they can sell tickets at a an open venue where fans are going to have to stand the whole time. People are not going to buy tickets. They're going to think of these things. So,
yeah, well, you know, we do have on the website, metalmayhemroc.com, our very own Southern Kale did a review of the Saxon show down in Orlando, and there are some pictures on there illustrating what Metal Walt's talking about right there. It's the older crowd, and that's interesting you say this, because I am rehabbing a sore back from like February. So at the end of the night, I found myself a little bit, you know, I had to take a, you know, a blow and sit down for a song or two. And you saw the walking wounded. You saw the old timers coming out with their battle vests. And they were like, you know, one guy's limping. Another girl has a bad shoulder. This heavy guy had the cane. But it's awesome that they come out and support. And that's what it is, the metal community. You got to get out there and you got to support and you got to see these shows live and you got to buy the product and supporting the band in any way possible. But I just want to make note that the friend that I made that had the King crown, his real name is Michael. So Michael from Syracuse, props to you. Cause if he's listening to this, and it's all good stuff. So Walt, any parting shots before we wrap this up?
Well, I would just say to you know, top off on the physicality of it. Again, as I said earlier in the show, you know, there was no alcohol in the Saxon dressing room pre-show. These guys are older. They're all in relatively good shape. Yeah, they got some bellies, but there was nothing outlandish there. They were sipping on some cocktails after, because I think they know this is a grueling schedule and they got to be on top of their game. You know, an hour and a half on stage. I can't even imagine Nigel in his early 70s drumming to that level. You know, playing songs like Heavy Metal Thunder and the opening track Hellfire and Damnation. That's got to be an energy drain for these guys. They got to eat well. They got to sleep well. They got to stay hydrated, and they can't booze it up too much.
That's true. And just some quick numbers on this Armored Saint headlining little tour. On April 23rd, they played in Leesburg, Virginia, and they played 14 songs. And in Columbus on April 11th, they played 14 songs. So the Rochester show, they played 12. So there was a little bit of something going on. And I don't want to cast a conspiracy theory, but unfortunately, the last time I saw Armored Saint was in Cleveland on the Wasp tour. And it was the last show that John Bush performed before he had to take a break and have our friend Jason McMaster take over. And it happened again here. So it looks like the denominator here is me. I don't think I could go see Armored Saint anymore, because every time I do, something happens to John Bush. But all kidding aside, the band's just performed. They give 100% and they're older. So, you know, get out there, see the tours. Just want to remind you, if you like what we're doing here, get up to Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon, subscribe to the pod, leave a review, and take a visit up to our website, metalmayhemroc.com. Past episodes are up there. We have links to our live radio show. And as we celebrate our five-year anniversary in the month of May, our development team is hard at work putting together a merch page. There you'll be able to buy direct merchandise, like the very one you see in all these posts. And what I'm going to be giving to the Nigel Glockler and what Metal Walt wears the shows. So again, that's Metal Mayhem ROC. All right, for my co-host Metal Walt, I'm the Vernomatic. Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy what we did today. And always remember, keep it heavy.
Metal for life.
Thank you for listening to Metal Mayhem ROC. Check out our website at metalmayhemroc.com for information on podcasts, archives, links to all our live radio shows, and all sorts of info. Please like, follow, and share with everyone, even your non-metal friends. And always remember to keep it heavy.